Welcome to The Edge Podcast. The Edge is the weekly youth service of Victory Family Center, and our heart is to see this generation encounter Jesus like never before. Now let's check out this week's sermon.
Hey, last week, Pastor Pam started on this new series called They Ain't Ready. All right, why don't you turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you ready? Turn to your other neighbor and say, are you ready? They ain't ready. Hey, come on, The Edge. How many of you know that this generation, come on, needs the gospel of Jesus Christ in their lives? Come on, that this world needs more of the gospel. Amen? Come on, that this generation needs more hope from Jesus. Come on, this generation needs the love of Jesus. Amen? Hey, that as a youth ministry over here, we don't just exist on a Saturday night, you know, to sing a couple of songs, to jump and hang around, all that. But we are here in this generation. We are here in Singapore because we believe that God is going to use us to change this generation. If you believe it, if you want that, come on, someone say yes. We're not here to play games. We're not here, you know, just to exist. But we are here to say, God, you can use us to reach our generation. Come on, if you are a student over here, God can use you to reach your school. Come on, if all of you live in a house in Singapore, you know, wherever you live, God can use you to reach the young people in your block. Come on, amen. Come on, God can use you to reach the young people in your estate. Amen. Come on, all of you can be used by God to reach the young people in your family. Come on, your cousins. How many of you have a cousin? Yes. You know, just a testimony. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, how many of you were at Christmas Spectacular? Love Christmas? Hey, good news, it's coming again this year. All right? You know, so for a long time, I've been praying for my cousin, yeah? You know, my cousin, he's the same age as me. He's just 1 week younger than me, okay? But I'm way better looking than him. Don't tell him that. Hey, but, you know, so I've been praying for him, praying for his salvation, you know, praying for him to come to church. You know, his family, you know, would never come to church. And I've been praying, church online times, you know, COVID, remember that? You know, so he's been joining us online, you know, because he wouldn't go to church, you know, and I was praying, you know, and there was one of the prayer segments before rehearsal. We were saying, hey, God, okay, bring our family, bring our neighbors, bring our whoever, and I was praying for my cousin to come, you know, and Christmas Spectacular on the Sunday, he and his dad came to our church for the first time in their lives. Come on. How many of you know that God can use you to reach your relatives, your family? Come on, Jesus, for your family, come on. For your school and for this nation. You know, but here's the thing. Here's the thing about this world, all right? Here's the thing about this world. This world is ready, okay, for a generation that is similar to them. You know, your school, your classmates, social media people on TikTok or whatsoever, they are ready for a world, a generation that is similar to them. They are ready to accept people, you know, who think like them. They are ready for people who dress like them. They are ready for people who talk like them. They are ready for people to live that kind of lifestyle that they live, all right? But this world needs, but what this world needs is not something that is similar to them or what they already have or what they already know. This generation needs something different, and it is the love of Jesus. Come on. This generation doesn't need another mess up. This generation doesn't need another trend. This generation doesn't need another TikTok soundtrack. Come on, this generation needs the gospel of Jesus Christ that is playing in your school. Come on, that is playing in your family. That is playing in your household. That is playing wherever you are, because this generation needs the sound of the gospel that will change and transform their lives forever. Oh, come on, you're not saying amen as good as I'm preaching tonight. Come on, this generation needs Jesus. Come on, your school needs Jesus. People around you, hey, they need the hope and the power of the gospel. You know, this world, come on, needs Jesus's healing touch. Come on, how many of you know that our nation, our society, our generation needs healing? Come on, this generation, they need the hope of Jesus. This generation, they need the voice of God to direct them. This generation needs the salvation of God in their lives. Hey, this generation needs God's light, you know, to direct their paths. You know, this generation, all of them, they need the light of God to shine over the darkness in their lives. How many of you know that some of our friends are lost? Some of our friends are lost in darkness. They are lost in addiction. They are lost in their struggles. Hey, but the Word of God says, whoever is in Christ, come on, the old has gone and the new has come. Whoever is in Christ, there is hope in the name of Jesus. So we have what this world really needs, and they are not ready. They ain't ready for the move of God that is coming to them this year. Come on, your school, come on, they're not ready for the move of God that's going to come to them this year. Come on, your classmate on Monday, come on, they're not ready for what you're going to bring. They thought you're going to bring another video. They thought you're going to bring another snack or whatsoever. But come on, this Monday, come on, when you go back to school, they can receive the gospel. They can receive salvation. Come on, your classroom, when you're about to give a presentation this coming week, come on, they might be ready for a science presentation or a literature talk or whatsoever, show and tell or whatever crap that is, come on. But they are ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ to hit them like a wave. They are ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ that breaks every chain, come on. They are ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ that will change this entire generation. And it starts with, the answer is you, come on. It starts with, and oh, sorry, it's me. And it starts with?
Me.
Yes, sorry. You know, it starts with you. And I want to read to you a story tonight from the Bible, from the book of Daniel. Come on, someone say Daniel. From the book of Daniel. And we want to read about a story in his life that saw his generation changed, that saw his nation changed. And I believe, you know, as I was praying this week on what, you know, to preach on, I believe that tonight, you know, we can receive, you know, this same mantle, we can receive this same anointing, and we can see the same change that we are going to read about in our generation. Someone say yes. All right, in Daniel chapter 6, are you guys there? Okay, so it says, the king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers because of Daniel's great ability. The king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Sounds like Asher. Okay, so they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds or accusing Daniel would be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. Turn to your neighbors and say, arr. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so that it cannot be changed. An official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. Are you guys ready? Are you guys still with me? Yes? In verse 10 it says, When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day. Everybody say three times a day. He prayed three times a day, just as he has always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied. The decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, the man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, Lion of Judah. Rock of ages, king on the throne, all dominion is yours alone. Hey, took me 3 weeks to learn that song, okay? So, where am I? One of the captives from Judah, okay, is ignoring you and your law, he still prays to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the man went together to the king and said, "Your Majesty, you know that according to the law, no law that the king signs can be changed." So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and he couldn't sleep at all that night. So this means the king was on TikTok till 3 a.m. every night as well, just like all of us, okay? Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried up to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king. Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in your sight and I have not wronged you." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Come on, I'm going to pause here. How many of you know that every time when we trust in God, he always comes through for us? When you trust God in your exams, he always comes through for you. When you right? Right? I knew that was for you. Study hard, pass your exams. Hey, when you trust God with your finances, like what Sherman shared just now, come on, he always takes care of you. Come on, when you gave to your willing offering last Sunday, come on, God always takes care of you. Amen? Hey, you know, then the king gave orders to arrest the man who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had been thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them, tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Check this out, okay, guys? "Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone through my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." Come on. How many of you think it would be cool, come on, if this happens to this nation of Singapore? That for God is the living God of our nation. God is a living God for our generation. Come on, that God will endure forever. His kingdom will never end. Because Jesus Christ, he is the name above every other name. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no other name that is higher than him. He is the beginning and he is the end. Come on, he is all powerful and he can come through for your life. He can come through for our generation and he's the name that saves our generation. If you believe that, someone say amen. Hey, today I'm going to give you three simple points today, you know, and you can write down on your notes if you are taking notes today, you know. The title of my message today is All or Nothing. All or Nothing. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say All or Nothing. Come on, turn to your other neighbor, your second choice, the one that you just ignored earlier, and say All or Nothing. You know, today, from this story that we just read, you know, it's about the life of Daniel. By the way, we just read a chapter of the Bible. So, some of you that haven't read your Bible all week, you're welcome. Okay, so, hey, from this story of Daniel, from the life of Daniel, hey, we can see my first point today is that your all can change a generation. Your all can change a generation. Hey, Daniel cashed in his faith and decided to trust in God. He went all in to say that, God, I trust in you 100%. What happened was, you know, the people, you know, the administrators, the high officers, you know, they didn't like Daniel and they just made a law, you know, together with the king. They conned the king to make this law. They say, whoever that prays to any other god will be thrown into prison, you know, will be thrown into the lion's den, you know, effectively, you know, kill this person, you know, in the most saddest way possible, you know. But when Daniel heard that, you know, what was his response? We can read in this story, we can read in this passage that his response wasn't to, you know, shrink back his faith. his response wasn't to turn back and say, all right, I'm gonna stop worshiping Jesus. I'm gonna stop confessing Jesus. I'm gonna let my faith take a break. I'm gonna let my faith take a pause, you know, for a couple of weeks, for 30 days until this dies out. You know, but his response was, you know what? My faith is still in God. My faith is still in God. That God still deserves all my praise. That the same God that I just prayed to yesterday is the same God that still deserves my praise and my time today. Whatever comes my way, my faith is still in God. He decided that no matter what, God is in control and his faith will not be taken away from him. Hey, no man was going to take away the destiny that God gave to him. You know, he decided that every day I'm going to pray 3 times to God. Every day, I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. Every day, you know, I'm going to ask for the presence of God to come down, you know, where I am. Every single day, I'm going to glorify God. Everyone will know that I pray. Everyone will know the God that I pray. I'm still going to pray 3 times a day. I want people to know that I love God. I want people to know, you know, that I worship Him. I want people to know that He answers my prayers. Come on, I wonder today, you know, over here in our youth ministry, in our church, is there any young people that desires, come on, for your school to know the God that you pray to? Come on. I wonder if there's anybody here that desires, come on, your classmates to know the God that you pray so hard every Saturday night here at the age. Come on, I wonder if there's anyone here that desires your family to know the God that you worship every single Saturday. Come on, because He is a God that is powerful. He is a God that is faithful. He is a God that protects. He is a God that is with you. His way and His purpose will always prevail, like what we saw in Daniel's life. See, Daniel's all actually wasn't a lot in the natural. You know, his all wasn't like, okay, God, I'm gonna give you like $1 million. I'm gonna stop giving to you. I'm gonna do this. No. His all was actually just praying 3 times a day. His all, you know, was just, you know what, God, my trust in you is so much. My trust in you is all that I have. This is my all. And his all wasn't a lot in the natural, but his heart always belonged to God. His heart was always with God. You know, and see, young person here tonight, you know, you might feel like, you know what, James, I don't have a lot to give to God. I don't have a lot to give to my generation. I'm not super good at sharing the gospel. I'm not super good at talking. Some of you might say, hey, James, I'm not super good with words as well. But I want to let you know today, you know, that Daniel didn't have a lot to give, but what he gave, what he showed to the world was his heart for God. Was his love for God. You know, and in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, it says, Jesus said that if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible. See, Jesus, you know, God doesn't look at what you have on the outside. God is looking at your heart today. What is your all? And the question today, young person, is that, does God have your all? Does God have your heart today? Can this generation see your heart for God? Can this generation see your love for Jesus? Come on, can your classmate that see you, you know, for 8 hours every single day, you know, see your heart for Jesus? Can your teacher in school see your heart for Jesus? You know, and some over here, you have big alls. Some have smaller alls. You know, but whatever it is, you know, who does your all belong to? Am I going to give God my all? Because if I'm not going to give God my all, then actually I'm not giving Him anything. I'm not giving Him what is deserving of His praise. Come on. I'm not giving God, you know, my entire heart today. And the nation and his generation was changed because Daniel decided that it was going to be all or nothing. He didn't even say to himself that I'm gonna pray, okay, I'm just gonna pray 1 time a day. You know, after the decree was said, he had always prayed 3 times a day with his window open. He didn't even tell himself, okay, today I'm gonna draw my curtains and pray. He didn't even say that, okay, I'm gonna go to my toilet to pray. He didn't even say that, okay, I'm gonna go to my friend's house to pray. You know what he did was that, you know what? It's either all or nothing. He said that I pray to God 3 times a day with my windows wide open or nothing. And he decided that, you know what, God, you still deserve my time. You still deserve my attention. You still deserve my focus. You still deserve my words. You still deserve me showing to the entire world, the entire nation of Israel, that my heart still belongs to you. And it's all changed a generation at the end of the story. Hey, I wonder today, would this nation, would this generation be changed because of how you pray to God every day? You know, we can talk about going out on the streets, we can talk about sharing the gospel with our friends, you know, and all that, which is super important and necessary. But I wonder if today, because of our prayers at home every single day, our generation can be changed. That our classmates can be changed. That our nation can be changed. Come on. That your family can be changed by the prayers that you pray at home every single day. You know, that your all can change a generation. Come on, someone shout all. Second point today, anything lesser than all isn't worth it. Anything lesser than all isn't worth it. Daniel, he knew anything lesser than giving his all to God would be robbing God the glory. To him, you know what? God, you deserve all praise and glory. God, you deserve to be known all over Israel. You deserve to be known in my generation. That anything lesser than all wasn't worth it. Either God is glorified or his life would mean nothing. You know, he knew that his life was not his own. He knew that every breath that he had, you know, living on this world was given by God. He knew that every single second that he was alive on this earth was a blessing from God. And because of that, his generation was changed. And today, young person, I want to encourage you today, anything lesser than your all to God is not going to be worth it. Anything lesser than what you can give entirely from your heart is not going to be worth it. If you knew what your all could achieve, anything lesser would be a waste. Sometimes when we look back in our lives, we go like, man, if I just put in more effort, I would have passed the exam. Come on. You know, if I just give my all, I will achieve this and this and that. You know, and you know, sometimes I look back on my life. You know, I knew that if I would study harder, I would be, okay, not necessarily smarter, but I would have higher, like, nicer results on my report book and whatsoever. You know, I knew that if I gave my all, you know, I remember for a year I was taking Japanese classes, you know, because I was getting ready to go to mission. So our church, they sent us, you know, to take Japanese classes, Japanese language classes. So, and being the great student that I am, you know, I was not interested in the class because I don't like to go to school. Anybody like me? Not a good example here. Okay, so I was like, I was dragging my feet to class. I was always asking my friend, you know, my neighbor, hey, what's the answer? You know, I was always trying to study before the class and the test and all that. You know, but somehow, 3 quarters in, you know, into the year, I was like, you know what? I think I need to be serious about this. You know, I need to get, you know, I'm serious about this language. You know, if not, I won't be able to speak the language in Japan and all that. You know, and on the last class, you know, on the last class of the year, I actually got a bit sentimental. You know, I'm like, oh, this is the last time I'm going to come here. This is the last time I'm going to see this teacher. This is the last time I'm going to look at my neighbor's, like, homework and all that. You know, this is the last time I'm going to be able to practice in class, you know, and a thought came to me like, man, if I just paid more attention 5 weeks ago, if I was more serious 5 months ago, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, man, I would be so much better now. You know, so I knew that if I gave my all 10 months ago, I would have been way better now. And I want to encourage all of us today, hey, here in this place, in our youth ministry, you know, I don't want any of us, you know, after you leave your school, after you graduate from whether it's secondary school, polytechnic, JC, ITE, or university, you know, that we will look back and say, man, I should have shared the gospel more. I should have saved, you know, my classmate. I should have shared with them the hope that Jesus has for them. You know, and see, the enemy wants to distract you from giving your all. The enemy wants to put fear in you, you know, that, you know what? I can't do it. I can't share the gospel with my friends. I don't have the influence that I have. You know, I don't have the authority. I don't have the popularity in my school, in my class that I should have. Maybe the enemy wants to put this thought in you that, nah, you are a shy person. You are an introvert. Maybe you took the personality test. Maybe you took your MBTI, you know, and your MBTI starts with I, you know. I don't care if your MBTI starts with I or an E. Come on. Whoever is in Christ, your I will be an E in the name of Jesus. James chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, so the enemy wants to put in you this thought that, you know what, I'm shy, I can't do it, I'm quiet, I don't know if I can. Or how about this? Some of you might just go like, I don't care, you know, I don't want to, you know. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Hey, whatever your weight is, whatever the distraction is, whatever the enemy has put in your life, in your heart, in your thoughts, in your mind, the Bible says, hey, let us strip off every weight that causes us not to give our all. Let us strip off every distraction that causes us, you know, not to give our all to our generation. Let us strip off every weight that causes us not to pursue the call of God upon our lives. Let us strip off every weight, you know, that causes us not to run the race that God has set before us. Let us strip off every weight that causes us to run off course, run the way that I want to go in instead of the path that God has set before me, you know. And see, the problem with us today, the problem with us in this culture, in this generation, is that all of us here, we have no problems wanting revival. How many of you want revival in your generation? Oh, like 10 of you. Come on. How many of you want revival in your generation? Yes? And no, the problem is, we want revival, but we also want other stuff. We want revival, but we want our reputation. We want revival, but we want our interests. We want revival, you know, but we want our friends. We want revival, but we want other stuff. And hey, no one has said that by telling your friends about Jesus, you will lose more friends than you gain. No one has ever said that. It's not a truth. It's not a fact. That's the lie of the enemy. No one has said that if you share the gospel with your family, you know, your reputation in your family will be bad. No, that's not true. Come on, when you share the gospel, there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's the power to break every chain. There's the power. It is the power unto salvation. And you know that today in our lives, the problem is that we want revival, but we want other stuff. And that means this is not our all. This means, you know, our all, you know, is taken away and is split up into every other stuff. We want revival, but we want our Mobile Legends. We want revival. Do you guys still play Mobile Legends? I think so, right? Yes? Oh, yes. One hand over there. Hey, we want our all, but we want to spend all our money on blind boxes and pop mats. Oh, I'm speaking your lingo right now. We want our all, but we want to spend all night on TikTok, you know, instead of praying. Woo! We want revival, but we want everything else. But come on, DH, can we be a generation that doesn't let this weight and these distractions cost us our generation? Can we be a group of young people to say today that God, it is all or nothing? Can we be a generation of young people that says that, you know what, God, today anything lesser than my all isn't worth it for my generation? Because your generation, your classmates, your world is ready for your normal. They are ready for what identifies with them. But today, you know, if you give your all to them, if you give your all to your generation, come on, they can receive the hope of Jesus in their lives that will change the course of your life. And today, if you are here for the first time and you've never known Jesus before, why are we talking about all of this? It's because we want you to experience the love that Jesus has for you, that Jesus gave all of Him to you. He died on the cross so that all your sins can be forgiven, all your past can be wiped away, and today you can be a new person. And today we are all about reaching this generation for Jesus. I'm not interested in playing games. I'm not interested to waste my time. I'm not interested to waste another breath on this world. Hey, I just want to give my all to Jesus. I just want to give my all to this generation. I just want to give my all for this generation to be saved. That today, I'm not going to stop sharing the gospel until people get saved. You know, and see, one of the reasons in my life why I'm so passionate about this, because I believe that every person deserves to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in their lives. You know, when I first touched down in Japan, in Tokyo, I was there for about 2 years. I was there planting our church over there. You know, then the local Japanese people that I've met, you know, they always ask this question: hey, why do you want to come to Japan? Why do you want to come to Tokyo? Why do you want to give up everything and come? You know, and my answer to them, you know, was, you know what? When we read about Japan, you know, the statistics of Japan is it was less than 0.1% Christianity in the entire nation. And like they rounded up to 0.1 because if not, you'd be like 0.0 if you round down. You know, so round up 0.1%. I'm like, man, if I have time on this earth, if I have my mouth to speak, I believe that I should come to this nation to tell people about Jesus. That I might not have much. I'm not the best, you know, at sharing the gospel. I'm not the best in the language. I'm not some superhero. But what I know is that I can trust God to give my life. You know, I can trust God to use my life to give my all to Him and to this generation. That as long as I can tell one more person about Jesus, come on, that's worth it. As long as I can tell one more person who doesn't know Jesus, come on, it will be worth it. If I can change the statistics by 0.0000001%, come on, it is worth it because one more person knows Jesus. Come on, one more person is going to heaven. Come on, one more person has hope in their lives. One more person can know that he or she is in trouble, in depression, or wanting to commit suicide. He or she can call on the name of Jesus and they can be saved. If I can share with one more person about the name of Jesus, come on, their entire household has the potential to get saved. And today in our lives, come on, church, if you share with one more classmate about Jesus, come on, there's one more person going to heaven in your school. If you share with one more family member, hey, in your family about Jesus, that's two of you in the family that knows Jesus, and two of you can share with two more family members this coming Chinese New Year about Jesus. You know, and see, anything lesser than our all isn't worth it. Hey, imagine if I went to Japan and just ate all the konbini snacks and Family Mart and 7-Eleven and went to Disneyland and all of that, you know, and not share the gospel. But I was there, but anything lesser than my all isn't worth it. You know, just a story, okay? I love going to Disneyland, all right? How many of you know of this place called Disneyland? Okay, you might not have gone there before, but you might have heard of it before, Disneyland. So whenever I go to Disneyland, because I live in Tokyo, okay, so we don't go there all the time, okay? Sometimes. I've been there 5 times, okay? So, you know, so when I go to Disneyland, I have an Apple Notes in my phone that gives me a Disneyland strategy to conquer the entire park, okay? So I'm gonna be the guy, okay, the park opens at 9 a.m. I'm there at 6:30 a.m. to queue up for the park. Because if you go on TikTok and see, you know, people would show you the queues. It's like mega, super, ultra long. You know, so I'll be there at 6:30. I will wake up at 5 a.m., you know, because trains start early in Tokyo. I will be on the train. I will take the train over there. And I have a plan to conquer the entire Disneyland. And people that come with me, they're like, James, why do you want to be so crazy? I'm like, you know what? I paid $80. I'm going to spend every dollar of it and make it worth it. You know, I'm going to conquer all the rides. I'm going to go to all the shows. I'm going to go to all the parades. You know, and what? And you know what? After the entire day, I feel like crap because I'm so tired. But I conquered the entire park. I don't want to go to Disneyland and just go like, oh, I conquered two rides. I have some friends that went there and go like, ah, it's too crowded. We just took two rides. We didn't even see the parade. I'm like, what the heck? You know, but it's just me. You know, when I do something, I'm going to go all the way. And it's the same thing for this generation. It is the same thing for the kingdom of God. When I praise God, I'm going to praise Him all the way. When I pray to Him, I'm going to pray all the way. Come, when I pray, I'm not going to pray some cute little prayer. I'm going to pray this nation into revival. Come on, I'm going to pray your region to revival. Come on, I'm going to pray your area to revival. Come on, I'm going to pray my family to revival, because anything lesser than my all isn't worth it. And today, can we be a generation of young people that says, you know what, God, you have my all. That God, you have my heart, you have my energy, you have everything in me. And last but not least, my third point today, as the band comes, giving your all starts with surrendering other parts of your life to God. Now, what I mentioned just now, in our generation, We don't have a problem giving God our all. We just have many other things. We have many other things that takes a pie of our attention. We have many other things that take a fraction of what we want to do, that takes up our time, our focus, our attention. But giving our all starts with surrendering to God our lives. And see, for Daniel, when he went home after hearing about the decree that whoever prays to anybody else other than King Darius, they'll be thrown into the lion's den. I don't know what exactly he prayed, okay? I don't know what exactly he prayed, but I was thinking, all right? If I put myself in Daniel's shoes, what I would have prayed to get that kind of result and that kind of bonus is that, God, my life doesn't belong to myself. I don't know what's going to happen today after the first prayer. I'm still going to pray to you. I'm going to surrender my life to you. He prayed with his windows wide open. God, I give my life to you. God, I give my heart to you. God, I give you my entire life. God, my life belongs to you. Have your way in my life. Have your way in my generation. God, change the king's mind. Change the heart of this generation. He prayed the first time. He said, in your name I pray. Amen. In Old Testament, no Jesus yet, so he can't say in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so he would pray, in God, in your name, amen. Theology class today, okay? He prayed that first prayer, it's like, oh, okay. Second prayer, God, I give you my all today. God, may this generation, may my nation know about you because of how I pray to you. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know if I'm going to meet Simba later on. But God, my life belongs to you. In your name I pray. Amen. And then what I would do is I'll look out the window. I'm like, do I hear anything? Do I hear any footsteps? Do I see King Darius? Do I see those rascal colleagues of mine coming to catch me? Oh, no one. It's okay. Third time of the day, he's supposed to pray. Say, God, I'm going to give my all to you again. God, I surrender my life today. God, I surrender my fears. God, I'm feeling scared now. It's my third prayer. They might come here later. God, I don't know if they're going to come for me anytime soon, but God, I surrender my fear. God, I surrender my fear of rejection. God, I surrender my fear of death. God, I surrender my fear of my reputation being destroyed even more. God, I surrender every part of me to you. God, protect me. I know that if you can't protect me from getting arrested, you will protect me in the lion's den. I know that you are with me now and forever and always. In your name I pray. Amen. And he prayed three times with his windows wide open. And finally, they came. They were like, and if I was Daniel, I'm like, oh, took so long for you to come? Should have come 12 hours ago. Then I would have prayed two more times. You know, they arrest him. I don't know about you, but sometimes you get nervous about something. You know, I remember when I was taking my driving license, my driving test, I was so nervous, I prayed in tongues the entire time. I'm like, shit. For real, like. And also, I'm like super nervous, like. And if I was Daniel, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I'd be praying, God, help me, God. May the lions be baby lions. And he got thrown into the lion's den. And I don't know about you, but if I was Daniel, my prayer would be, God, if I were to die, it was because I was so passionate about you. It was because I gave my all to you. That you will know that I gave my all to you and I love you and I just want this generation to know your name. But God, if you have mercy on me, protect my life so that more can know about you. And what did God do? He was thrown into the lion's den and God protected him. Not a scratch was on him. And he came out of that lion's den and the king was surprised. Everyone was surprised. Like, plot twist, my God wins, you know. And after that, the king wrote a decree that everyone in this world, every race, every language, every tribe, every tongue, will worship the God and will pray to the God that Daniel prays. And it all started with Daniel surrendering his all, every part of his life to God. And I wonder today, come on, the H, will we be a generation that surrenders our life to God? Will we be a generation that says that, God, I don't just want to pray for my agenda. I don't just want to pray for my prayer needs. I don't just want to pray for more money to come into my bank account. I don't just want to pray for more clothes, more whatever, you know. I just want to pray that, God, you have my heart. That I want to pray that, God, you have my all. I want to pray that, God, may my life reflect your glory. That when people see me, they will begin to see Jesus. And I want to encourage us here today as a youth ministry that can we be a generation that knows how to surrender to God? Come on, we'll not be a generation that just want to do things our own way. We're not going to be a generation that just tells God that, God, ain't nobody telling me what to do. I don't want to be someone that tells God that. I want to be someone that always comes before God and say, God, I surrender my life to you. If you're going to use anyone in my generation, God, here I am. If you're going to find any heart that belongs to you, here I am. If you're going to find any person that's willing to step out in my generation to bring revival, God, here I am. Come on, my neighbor raised his hand, but that's my neighbor's problem. But here I am. God, I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm surrendering my interests. I'm surrendering my plans to you. I'm surrendering my future to you. And I'm surrendering my all to you. And can we be a generation that does that tonight? You know, let's not wait another moment. Let's not wait for another camp, another conference at the end of the year to surrender our lives to God. Come on, let's surrender our lives today. So that from today, so that on Monday, your generation, come on, can experience the revival that God wants to bring through you.
And that's it for this week. We hope you've been inspired and challenged to reach your generation for Jesus. Do check out www.theedge.org for more information, updates, and resources.